And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio. Tonight, we are starting a new show called Travelers, Seekers, and Wandering Ways. And my host this evening is Tim White. And I guess this evening's interview is going to be kind of on me, which is a little bit of a difference. And so I am Lori Houston, and I'm the host and producer of Intuitive Soul Radio. Intuitive Soul is clearing a path to divine consciousness. So, welcome, Tim.
Welcome, Lori. First thing I'd like to say, and heartfelt gratitude for you for having this opportunity and presenting this opportunity for me, and for being a first guest and to talk today about what you're doing and where you're going and your life and the path that you're taking.
Right.
It's quite interesting. I received one of your emails this morning, and you had mentioned in the email about a clearing and meditation series that you were starting.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it's very interesting because this this new blessing that's come about is very different from anything I've done before. It actually is something that between a friend and I, we started doing some work and started remembering an old ritual we used to do from a very old past life. And so I think we're talking before a good 2100 years ago, when the Essenes were rather in the heyday of their time. And the ritual is very much, I guess at that time, was what they called a baptismal, and they were really the first people that did baptismals. But at that time, it was really creating this divine connection with yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to come in. And I think, you know, at that time, that might have been what they called the Holy Spirit. And at this time, what we call the Holy Spirit, I believe, is really our own essence, our own divine connection with our own spirit, our own living energy within us that is, you know, of the levels of consciousness where we have our consciousness that is our ego and the everyday part of our lives. Then there's the consciousness that's our higher self, or the aspect of us that is our divine connection. And then we move into oneness. So I really think there's the three levels of consciousness.
Right.
And so this really is bringing that clearer connection to our divine. And I think that's why they called it the Holy Spirit, because it's not just the connection that is this everyday reality that we have.
Right. Okay.
And what I found, so it's a interesting ritual that has to do with a lot of energy, as well as an anointment with oils, essential oils. And we've even found something called liquid gold. So it's very interesting, and it definitely feels very old. And yet there's still, as someone put it, it's still very clean. It doesn't have, you know, it didn't get carried into the Christian faith the way a lot of, and the way a baptismal has, very different from that.
Right.
And
if we're looking at baptismal, in my mind, I think about, you know, water anointment with babies. So you're looking at something that's a little bit more different.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, it wouldn't have been just for babies. It would have been for, you know, everybody, and it would have been for adults, because they're the ones that were ready. And I think with the Essenes, even though it's not, it was just a sect of Judaism. It was a sect that had, you know, levels to it, like a mystery school type, where, you know, you would grow into certain levels to evolve your spirit and evolve your evolution. And I think, you know, at that time, probably the baptismal might have been one of the first initiations into it. But it's definitely initiation. I've had initiations in a mystery school in what feels like a past life. And, you know, there are guides that are being changed. There are, you know, you feel things that are happening with this blessing, we're calling it now. It because we don't really know exactly yet what to call it. But so far, we're calling it a blessing because the baptismal has a certain ring to it. It has a,
right,
you know,
connotation based on cultural form.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And okay. religion and, you mm-hmm. know, that whole blah, dogma and everything that's attached to religion.
Right. Yes.
And somebody called it a birthing, but I don't really feel it's a birthing either.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like it creates a clearer connection to your divine essence, mm-hmm. that part of you that's within your heart. So it's like it clears a pathway, and it's not even, you know, it may not even be the traditional pathway. It may be something completely different, but it does have an essence to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I thought I would do with that, once people have the blessing, we're going to probably come up with a line of water mists,
right.
so that they can sort of keep themselves kind of clear while they're
right.
going through certain things. But I thought that I would do a 5 meditation series,
mm-hmm.
to help, you know, create a stronger foundation and to keep people really clear. And I had been doing Kuan Yin meditations now for probably 7 or 8 years, mm-hmm. maybe a bit longer, but it has been changing.
So when you say it has been changing, you're talking about energy levels, frequencies, how you're approaching things?
Almost everything
okay.
to do with that. I think the energy is changing so dramatically. And when I knew one of the last meditations that I did, which was, I believe it was either May or June, and it was a Kuan Yin. And in the end, you know, the message of that meditation was, you know, you've got to stop looking for us to help you. This is really about you finding your own connection,
mm-hmm.
so that
okay.
and stop looking, you know, to all the masters, you know, for your own divinity, because it's within you. It's not something outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we're always going to be here, and we'll be here for you, and we'll guide you, and we'll, you know, support you.
Mm-hmm.
But stop looking at us for the answers.
So it's what I'm getting is that it's creating a base for people to hold themselves responsible,
mm-hmm.
for connecting to their own divinity. Is that
right? Yeah.
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 Okay.
And so as much as, I mean, I don't really channel Kuan Yin, what happens is I go into a very, very light trance, and it's really just the energy of the goddess. It's really, I mean, it's very predominantly Kuan Yin, because I mm-hmm. seem to have a connection with her from past lives, and in the Bodhisattva. I mean, there is definitely an embodiment of that feminine goddess type energy.
Right.
But it's really an energy. It's not you know, it's not like she comes into my body and
right.
you know, it's not that. It's more like, it's almost, I like to explain it sometimes like a, you know, it's like a blanket that kind of mm-hmm. wraps around me.
That's lovely. Oh, that's very joyous.
Yeah.
It's quite nice and comforting. And with the analogy of the blanket, you get the nurturing aspect of the goddess as well.
Mm-hmm.
Really quite phenomenal. You talked about gold and liquid gold. I just wanted to come back to that, because
sure.
that kind of really sparked my interest, and I'm sure other people as well. When this situation, when you go into these, you know, mild trances, and you feel this, and you have this this feeling and these impressions of this past, is there a reason particular for gold? I was wondering about,
you know,
that.
This has to do with the Essene stuff,
okay.
and so, you know, we're predominantly using frankincense,
okay,
myrrh,
right,
and now we've got the essence of gold versus, you know, the, so it's the energy and essence of the gold that seems to be
mm-hmm.
That aspect that we were sort of missing. We're also using sandalwood, which is a, they're lovely oils,
mm-hmm.
and they're very pure, and so we're making sure that it's, you know, set in a way that, you know, it sort of holds that intent. But the really different aspect of this for me is that, you know, everything that I've gotten is, there is no price.
Mm-hmm.
This is by donation only.
Right.
And
okay.
a portion of it will be going to charity.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
It's very different from what I've done, and kind of scary, because, you know, this is my life and my work.
Right.
And And, you know, this is where you're being asked to trust, because everything is changing so much these days that if we want to maintain and stay in the integrity of who we are and what we're doing, we have to change.
Mm-hmm.
And as scary as that can be, you know, that's what I'm being told is how it's got to work now.
Right. That's really interesting, because you're talking very much about Kuan Yin and the goddess. Do you feel that this shift is because these energies are coming more predominant based on our patriarchal society that we've lived in for such a long time?
You know, I think definitely this whole shift in consciousness, this whole thing that everybody's been talking about, is really about balancing out
mm-hmm.
the male and female. I think, yes, we have, it was very necessary to have the male dominated energy for so long, because we needed to grow
mm-hmm.
in that way. It went too long
mm-hmm.
and it went too far to the one end.
Mm-hmm.
But we needed that. We mm-hmm. needed that so that we could see the contrast, and so that we could bring in, instead of, a feminine dominated society, which I believe we've had prior to the
right.
male dominated.
That's right. Yeah.
That,
yeah.
you know, we needed to understand what balance would look like and what that would be like. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know there's a lot of men out there that don't feel that women are their equal. And it's a difficult concept to hold, because it's not the same. I mean, we're not going to have the physical strength that men have.
Mm-hmm.
We have a different strength than our,
mm-hmm.
and those, it's that dance, that weave that we have to be able to, you know, unite together and to become that balanced and equality that we're all looking for.
Hmm. That's really interesting. I totally agree that it's quite amazing how energies are shifting and how we're bringing back a semblance of balance. And when you talk about the aspects of this and how we're moving, I think it's quite incredible that you've discovered or this has been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And the revelation that you've had is, again, it's a revelation. It's not actually something that's new. It's something that you've lived before, and I find that quite fascinating. So in that aspect, when you have that feeling of having been there before and being in this place before, what kind of feelings do you have in moving that forward?
It's a very interesting concept to play with. I mean, the more I do it, the more I feel a resonance to that time. Now, I've always felt some connection with that time period and that the Essenes and, you know, everything that went around that period, certainly
mm-hmm.
with Jesus, however that is found to come about. You know, there's lots of different thoughts on that. And
so
I mean, I did a very interesting interview with Randy Donato. I can't remember his last name. Sorry, Randy. And he did a fictional book. And it's all about, you know, how we may not know the truth about Jesus, and because it's a weaving of
mm-hmm.
all of the different religions.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And every one of the stories has been already happened in another religion, and so that was the way to unite, to bring one religion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting how that all came about, and I there's a part of me that resonates very much with that
mm-hmm.
and the belief that possibly Jesus was really the teacher of righteousness, which was the Essene teacher. And I think that will come out in his next book, I think, when he talks about the Essenes and the what are the scriptures that were found that are mm-hmm. supposed to be the Essenes' teachings?
Okay. Yeah, because there's so many.
I know.
Yeah. We look at that and, you know, we're kind of, you have these four books and this is all that we're putting out. There's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting to see how somebody is bringing forward more of the tapestry and those colors from that time and bringing that forward. Now, you talk about Jesus as well. We're looking again here at masculine energies. When you look at...
Well, he, you know, apparently was supposed to have Mary Magdalene as his divine partner, which would have, you know, had the balance.
Right.
Now, again, whether that certainly resonates with me.
Right.
And
yeah.
It feels like it's right. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating. And I think, you know, as we come into this time of balance, I mean, that's probably when those healings or those modalities were probably more relevant for now than they were for then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we think of this, or we're taught this. I was taught this anyway in Catholic school, that there was just, you know, Jesus and everything else was aside. You know, Mary was there. But then in delving deeper into that, when you look at these stories, a lot of Jesus' followers in the story of Jesus are women. And it was really interesting to see how that manifested into something really different. So it was really quite empowering just to hear what you're saying and bringing those aspects forward. And you also mentioned that there's a difference in the clearings that you've done before. So how, if you can try to explain some of those slight differences in what's happening there.
Okay, so I know that this blessing does clear people in certain aspects of whatever it is that they're holding the intent when, you know, whatever there is that they're ready to let go of.
Right, okay.
With the work I've done before with personal clearings, you know, I used to do just one thing, which was, you know, a cord cutting, which is incredibly effective for people to, you know, remove those emotional cords, physical, mental, spiritual cords that are attached to other people. And typically what happens is, you know, as we're, because of the way we were born, because we, you know, grew from an umbilical cord and that nurtured us and fed us and we grew from that,
right.
We sort of feel that we have to energetically create the same connection with people as we create relationships.
Okay.
So with parents, with intimate partners, we're creating these cords. Now, with our parents, they tend to have stayed at the same space as when we were children.
Right.
Because that's when we were with them the strongest and they were part of our growth and development.
Right.
However, so as you get older, those same cords are still attached. And a lot of the reason why, you know, your buttons keep getting pushed from your parents are because of these cords.
Right. And when you go back home and you're in that family group
for the any dynamic.
Kind of everybody takes on the same roles as they have before. And it's like,
yeah, exactly. It's true, though. I mean, they say that the measure of your spiritual evolution is when you go home and see whether you still are in the same patterns as you were as a child.
If you can recognize them, right?
Well, that's...
Yeah, so creating the awareness, which is opening up to the divine, which is the clearing and the meditation that you were talking about earlier. Okay.
But what I found was, you know, it's great to do the cord cutting, but because of my natural counselor abilities, and as well as because that's how I went to school, I found that there's still a part of the awareness that you're talking about that's key and essential.
Right.
So with a personal clearing, I tend to have a quite lengthy consultation with the person to find out where they are and how they've created these attachments and whether they're really ready to let them go.
Right. Okay.
And to work with them to allow them to understand, you know, their triggers and whether, you know, they're wanting to grow and develop and to move forward and to assist them on that path. Mm-hmm. So it's a very full and complete package.
Right. Yeah.
What I found now, though, probably is that I would recommend the blessing first, and then do the personal clearing, and then it's much easier.
That actually makes, excuse me, a lot of sense to me. Because if you have a preparatory, we'll say, ritual or blessing or process,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to call it, it allows an acceptance and creates that wonderful blanket that you were talking about before. And in all of your work, what I'm hearing is that you're creating a holding space of gentleness and warmth for these people so that they can access and continue their journey, which is quite a lovely space to be in when you have somebody who's had the experience and the knowledge and the insight to be able to do that. So I find that quite fascinating. Now, you've mentioned something about school and how that, just very briefly, you had mentioned school. And I'd like to talk a little bit about how school has affected where your place is and for you right now. In that
so
work.
My degree, you mean, in social work?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think we all get, we all do what we're supposed to do, you know, and a lot of times what people do is they take a certain course and then they go in a completely different direction. And I always wonder, you know, what was it about that course that they did it for? Were they just doing it for their parents?
Mm-hmm.
You know, were they doing it because it was expected of you?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I had no expectations as a child, certainly from my parents. And it was something I chose, I wanted to do.
Right.
Knowing myself well enough that, you know, science and math were not my strong points and to stay very, very far away from that so that it wouldn't frustrate me.
What? You're not a calculus whiz.
No. Ironically, though, I worked for the government and probably did more math calculations there than I did ever as a child. However, hence why I'm not in the government anymore.
Well, I'd say that's a very intelligent choice, but that's just my personal opinion.
So I think, you know, as long as you are following your path and not somebody else's path, each thing that you take evolves to a place, evolves your spirit to a certain place to get you to where you're wanting to go.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure how social work comes to the radio, but it's allowed me to understand a certain aspect of listening, to bring presence, to bring, you know, that space for others to talk. So it is unusual that I get to talk. I'm usually the one that's holding the space and the presence so that everybody else can talk.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because when you talk about that and this background in social work, when we say we've come to this place, everything that you've done has created this person that you are, this individual, this energy that is you. And when you're talking about, you know, when you're talking about the personal clearing and cutting the cords, and when you're talking about the clearing of meditation series that you have coming up, all of those things sit really well because you've established this foundation of a listening. But with the social work and the courses that you've done, you've created a space of understanding and acceptance in that as well. So everything just kind of flowers and bubbles from there. It's quite beautiful. And the flowering and the bubbling in the trance and feeling that warm blanket of Kuan Yin and that goddess energy moving that forward. It's a wonderful journey that you've been on, and you come back to this clearing and meditation. So we've talked a little bit about the clearing, the meditation side of things. How do you format that? How do you create that space in there?
It's really most of the time it's guided imagery that I'm doing, and it's really about it's not really so much teaching how to meditate as much as it is, you know, finding that space, finding that divine aspect that is within everybody, mm-hmm. and building on that, and mm-hmm. and allowing that to be, what soothes your own soul, what nurtures your own soul, what grows so that you feel protected and safe and mm-hmm. nurtured. It's about learning how to create that for yourself so that you don't have to rely on other people to do it for you, but that you, right. You have those tools that, mm-hmm. yes, it's nice to have someone sit in front of you and in a group and allow you, that extra energy to feel that, that added protection and that added mm-hmm. nurturance, but mm-hmm. it still gives you the tools that you can do it on your own.
Right.
And I do think, I have recorded several of the meditations, and eventually I think I'll record these as a series mm-hmm. of the five and allow people to, take them home and listen to them and help them to understand themselves and to create this space so that they can be in a mm-hmm. in a place that, honors their own growth, their mm-hmm. own path, instead of having someone else mm-hmm. necessarily, lead them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's the teacher student and I can hear these words actually coming from you, Lori, because it would be, nobody really teaches. They offer information and somebody has to learn. You have to make an active effort in order to assume mm-hmm. and integrate the knowledge that's being imparted.
Right. Right.
So I find that, really quite interesting. Is there a particular reason you settled on 5 as a number for these meditations and clearing?
No, it just was the guidance I was given. Okay. So, five is what the number of transformation. So maybe that's mm-hmm. why. Usually it's the number that often holds. There is a difficulty usually with 5 that, when people get into 5s, but
I love 5.
Do you?
5 is my number.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, 5 is it for me, is 5 or 14. So
which, it's to the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And just because that's 5 resonates really deeply with me. I was born at 5:55.
So. Oh, wow.
So that's always carried something for me. So that's just a little personal thing. What's that about, Laurie?
It was just to intrigue you, Tim, to ask the question.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
It's all for you.
And it gives me another question to ask.
But while we were talking about this, it made me think, you asked about, bringing something old back in. And, I honestly don't think there's anything new out there.
No.
Anyway, people may say, I've come up with this new thing, or, I really don't think there's anything new anywhere. So it's really a matter of, tapping in and connecting. And it's kind of cool to come up with your own kind of thing, whether it was certainly wasn't my own thing at the time, but
right.
I think we all maybe modified our everything anyway.
Well, wouldn't you agree that that has to be the case, that mm-hmm. we do modify everything? All input, external input that comes into us is translated based on who we are.
Our unique aspects of...
So when you talk, you're talking about the people who come to this and what they're going to get out of it, these meditations, the preparatory work before the blessing, and then, they can move on towards the personal clearing, the cord cutting. And it's fascinating because you're providing these people the same thing which you've provided for yourself,
mm-hmm.
is that, you've taken this, I'll call it responsibility, but you've taken this situation and these impressions that you've had and are moving that forward. And it's a wonderful way, because you're taking what you've known, what you know, and what you will know, and moving that forward for other people. How does that feel for you in moving through that?
Well, I have to say it's been, you know, a very interesting last few months. I mean, it's the energies have been extremely intense, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're forcing us to really look at everything in our lives and establish, you know, what it is that we're creating. Mm-hmm. And are we doing what we're wanting? Mm-hmm. Are we, you know, are we still evolving? Are we getting stuck in old things that used to work for us? So
right.
it's really pushing us to really, really become aware and examine everything that is in our lives to mm-hmm. establish whether, you know, what we've been doing will either continue to work or is it all changing? And personally, I'm finding that everything is changing, mm-hmm. you know, from my personal life to my, you know, my business world. And I mean, everything about it seems to be completely transitioning right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of exciting, but it's kind of scary at the same time.
Okay. And that's exactly what I was going to ask, because oftentimes when we're faced with change, we put up a lot of defenses because we hold on to those pre-programmed patterns of behavior. So in your work, and I just want to go back to the clearing and meditation, what follows is that, I think, is that you're moving this forward for other people as well. Is that, am I getting the right sense of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the thing. You know, you have to do your own work, too. You have to walk your talk. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
I've always embraced change mm-hmm. because I think it's, you know, it's gotten me a lot of different places,
mm-hmm.
and it's
right.
been incredibly important in everything I've done. We do kick and scream
mm-hmm.
as we move forward, but but I think that's just part of, you know, our nature, because
right.
you know, we tend to get comfortable,
mm-hmm.
but as soon as we get uncomfortable, you know, we need to make changes, and
right.
you know, sometimes that means healing parts of ourselves that, you know, we're not ready to heal yet,
right.
or, you know, coming up with different ways of doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, everybody seems to be going through their own, I don't want to say struggle, but a lot of times it is a struggle, because
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of things are changing right now for
right.
everybody. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, those of us who've been awake for a little while, you know, are kind of the leaders at the forefront
mm-hmm.
to assist as we come into more mass consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's happening. It's, and those people are going to be, you know, probably pushed like way out of their comfort zone
mm-hmm.
in a way that's, you know, very dramatic.
Right. Okay.
And so we have to kind of experience some
mm-hmm.
of that to allow them to, again, have that space and give them, you know,
mm-hmm.
that blanket so that they realize that they are being
mm-hmm.
taken care of and nurtured at the same time.
Right. And it's off, what I'm getting is that it's not actually giving them the blanket. It's giving them the tools so that they can make their own blanket.
True.
It's really
mm-hmm.
you know, which is really a lovely thing. It's creating your own life tapestry and putting in those colors that vibrate for you.
Right.
And when you talk about this, because you've gone through so many different things, you're able to provide that space for them with that understanding as well. And just trying to think how you feel with that process of sharing with others as well. We've talked about the work that you do
mm-hmm.
and the personal work that you've done. How does that enliven what you do?
Well, I mean, it always helps to be able to have examples while you're working with somebody, because, you know, it's easy to say, no, well, you know, this is all you need, when, you know, when you're in the midst of a trauma or a transition or a transformation. You know, we all know it intellectually that there are things that we'll get through, and, you know, intellectually we may understand a lot more than, you know, emotionally and mm-hmm. mentally, physically, I mean, spiritually. I mean, we mm-hmm. really don't, until we can get it from every level, mm-hmm. it's just a mind game. It's just, you know, right. learning how to talk.
Right.
And okay. so to have the experiences, to be kinesthetic, mm-hmm. to offer that type of empathy mm-hmm. and empowerment, you know, that takes it to a different level, and mm-hmm. it helps people, you know that it's safe mm-hmm. and that it's, you know, this is kind of normal.
Right. So, and it's, and because with this understanding and this life experience and actual settling into an actual knowing rather than a mimicry, mm-hmm. you're actually, you, and then with the meditation and the clearing course that you're doing, the five sessions, all of a sudden, again, you've taken an aspect which is very active, which is the mind stuff, and something that's very energetic, and you're pulling those together based on your own experience. And I think that's quite wonderful. And what I appreciate, and I think what others would appreciate, is having that balance between the two, of both the active and reflective, mm-hmm. and how that brings things together. How, when you're working on things, when does that realization come about? How does that realization
for
come
myself
about?
Or for yeah. my clients?
Well, just for you. We'll talk
for
about
me?
This. It's about Lori today. This
right,
is about Lori
right, right.
today.
Well, you know, for me, it's a matter of, you know, I do a lot. I've created a very quiet space mm-hmm. in my life.
Right.
And so I do a lot of contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of thought processing mm-hmm. in that I'm very mental in that I'm an air sign, and I like to have a grasp on concepts.
Right. Okay.
But it's more than that for me. Like, it's mm-hmm. not enough to just understand it, or it's not enough to know it. It's intellectually, I have to then take it into a more kinesthetic approach,
mm-hmm.
which is to more feel okay. the aspect of what I'm also doing.
Right.
So,
okay.
you know, a lot of people have taught the art of detachment.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there are moments in our lives when detachment is probably quite necessary,
mm-hmm.
on the whole, it can be quite debilitating mm-hmm. because it doesn't allow us to really move into our experiences.
Totally.
And so, you know, going through anger, you know, if you see a child that has a temper tantrum, you know, if you allow them to have that temper tantrum, it only goes on for 2-5 minutes maximum.
Right.
Then they
yep.
get up. They want to play.
Exactly.
They've done it. They got it out. They expressed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Right. Yep.
We, on the other hand, have learned many, many, many very destructive ways to deal with our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And those that we feel are negative, we don't. We just stuff them away because, you know, to be a good girl is to be seen or and not heard, and
right,
you
yes,
know
yep,
it's
yep.
I mean, it was the time
mm-hmm.
you know, it was the time we grew up, and
mm-hmm.
we didn't know any better, and no, neither did they, and
no yeah
and
yep.
so now we're coming into a more emotional evolution
mm-hmm.
where we're starting to understand that when we bottled all those stuff up, that kept us, it that's time. It
mm-hmm.
kept us at that place, whenever that was, and we didn't get to grow emotionally. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We may have grown spiritually, we may have grown physically, but the emotional aspects, and we would have grown mentally, but I think it's the emotional aspects that have really done a lot of damage, because it's, you know, it has blocked our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we replay the same patterns over and over and over again until we get it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not an aspect necessarily of getting it. I know quite recently, my story has always been about abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And quite recently, I had another example of where I could have very easily fallen into this story.
Right.
And what I found this time is that I didn't fall into the story. And so, although, I mean, I've had aspects of that in my life other times,
right.
This one was big enough that for me not to have fallen into my story is pretty significant.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's really...
It didn't make the situation any easier.
No.
Because there's still the emotional aspects that I have to heal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the fact that it didn't trigger my main storyline my entire life is pretty huge.
That's like massive.
I know.
You know, that's what we all strive for.
Yeah.
You know.
Again, didn't make the situation any easier. It just didn't trigger this one into this.
Yeah. It's not so much that it's, you're not pulling the triggers to inflame the situation and grow it in a sense.
Right. It's not all about me.
Right. Mushroom cloud it.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, one of the first directions that I usually go. I need to pat you on the back, because that's just incredible. That's really good, because it's recognizing that you had a story, and what your story was, how you reacted to that story, how you reacted to the situation around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you might agree with this, it's not necessarily the situation, it's how we react to that situation.
Yeah.
And again, I want to take that back to the clearing of meditation, because now we've talked about that. So how does this personal aspect influence the clearing of meditation program that you're going to be doing?
Well, I think, you know, and I like to talk about this a lot. I mean, we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, you know, we're human. As long as we're on this planet, you know, we're going to be human in this physical form.
That's right.
And so we're going to have ego. Tim keeps knocking himself in the head and his leg to show us that we are physically in this body. So that is an aspect we just either have to learn to embrace and work with or to heal as much as possible.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's really what's been happening these past, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months. I mean, it's really been pushing us to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously something is about to shift dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need to be ready. And, you know, maybe it's time that I healed that so that it stopped being my story, so that I could then offer that as a way to show people that it is possible to not be in that place and to not have that same reaction. And, you know, because I used to say, you know, I don't know if we ever get to get past it, but we do.
Yeah.
That's great to know, because I didn't know that in the past. I wasn't sure, because I thought I've been spending, you know, the last 20 years of my life. Well, okay. So like 16 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
To heal this part of me that I recognize would get triggered. And, you know, I was talking with a friend, you know, this weekend, and, you know, when I was younger, I was so angry. Mm-hmm. Like, I had so much anger in me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments when, you know, in this past experience, in this last couple of weeks where I was, and then a relationship ended again, you know, I found it very empowering to go into that place of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so from your solar plexus, you can come into an empowerment that, you know, by getting angry, because there's, you know, it's an honest emotion. Mm-hmm. It's real. Mm-hmm. Just as grief is real. Mm-hmm. Just as sadness is real. Mm-hmm. But I can't stay in it. No. Like, I can't mm-hmm. stay in it anymore. It's just not who I am anymore.
Right. But and you were talking about the child. When the child is angry, the child is just in that moment of anger.
Right.
And it's the same thing. That anger can push us forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because anger gives us an energy. When we, you know, you talk about the solar plexus, it's our energy and how we move in the world. So yes, it's very empowering to have that.
It is.
So now, when in that anger, where did you go with that in order to come out of it?
I wrote some emails. Mm-hmm. That was fun. I didn't actually send them.
Right. Yeah.
I almost did.
Right.
I sent enough of the energy that the person was able to feel some of it.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
But you know, it's really just about allowing it some space, recognition, acknowledgement.
You're giving it the blanket, right?
Yeah.
You're giving your anger that blanket, that warmth. And you've also mentioned repression and the anger and repression. I'm just wondering what your take is on that and how it affects not just you, but the people around you, and how what you're doing with the clearing of meditation can bring to people and help them with that.
Well, I think it's really important, again, to realize and become aware of whether we have repressed our emotions. Because if we have, they're very close to the surface. And, you know, in a process that I went through last summer, you know, I had to go through, you know, tremendous grief.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was anger. Mm-hmm. And then underneath the anger, there was, again, there was this just incredible grief. And it was, you know, allowing that child an opportunity to finally grieve, you know, her whole story, which came around, you know, from being adopted as a child to being in a foster home for 5.5 months to going then to, you know, the adoptive home and then having her father die at 13. So that has been a pattern that then became repeated over and over again as I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never really got to grieve for that little baby. Mm-hmm. I never really got to grieve that pain of having that abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
So it would play out over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain would be just as intense no matter what it was, whether it was, you know, a spiritual group that I had been involved with that I no longer was involved with, or, you know, a relationship.
Right.
Because I've had, you know, several experiences in all of them where, you know, that abandonment and that support and that nurturance I felt were missing.
Okay, yeah.
And so what can these meditation help you with? I mean, it's really becoming aware. It's becoming aware of those moments when our story comes up and helping us understand how that story is really an illusion that we keep creating because it's our perception of what we believe happens in our life. And so if we believe that that's going to continue to happen, it continues to happen.
Right.
And we recreate it until it, you know, until it no longer has that impact.
The hold on us. Now, I'm just wondering, you talk about your meditations and you're talking about a creative visualization, a guided created visualization. So I'm wondering, in your experience with that, when you're using a particular visualization, what are the responses different between the individuals who are there in a group?
I think most of the people tend to experience a beautiful journey because it's definitely about their own heart, their own connection, and how to build that connection. So most people have a pretty beautiful experience.
Right.
I think the biggest issue with people is that they all think that they're their experiences have to be the same in that, you know, they either have to be visual and have these beautiful visual experience, or, you know, they have to hear. Most people want to see something. And
right,
often
yeah.
if you're kinesthetic, you're not seeing something, you're feeling something. And it could be, you know, they can be combined.
Mm-hmm.
But until you've built some of your skills and developed them,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's experience is very varied. But
right.
it's really about you understanding your own gifts, which everybody has, that is very unique to
mm-hmm.
them. So no one person's going to have the same gift in the same way.
Right, exactly. So when you're doing the clearing of meditation series, each of those meditations in each session will be different, or will be
I would imagine they'd be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
They're always a little bit different.
Right, yeah, okay.
But they have a similar pattern,
mm-hmm.
a similar hold, which is to allow them to connect with
right.
themselves.
So the clearing of meditation, you're doing the meditation at the beginning, right?
Blessing first.
Blessing first.
Blessing
okay.
first.
And that's the blessing with the essential oils.
Yep.
Can we get that right?
Yep.
And the liquid gold.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. And an intense energy exchange. It's very beautiful because it really, for me, every experience has been that, you know, the heart just like completely expands
mm-hmm.
when I do it. And so people get a very intense energy exchange because
okay.
it's very open and quite loving.
Okay, okay. That's wonderful. So we went from there in the personal clearing, the meditations. What's your intention for the people who come to this? We talked a little bit about it, but
mm-hmm.
just to...
It really is to... You know, a lot of people feel... There's a lot of people that feel unsafe and not nurtured in this planet that we exist on.
Okay, just for to open that up a little bit. When you say people don't feel safe and don't feel nurtured, you can kind of give us some examples of what, not necessarily clients or anything
right.
like that, but what you see generally and how people, so that we can understand a little bit more of what some of the ramifications might be of
well,
that.
I think our ego and this physical dimension has always created that we are separate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that separation is really the defining issue that we all have, is that we all feel we are separate.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no connection, and there aren't these cords, and there aren't these guides, and there aren't these people. They're just concepts that
mm-hmm.
we like to think about, but we don't actually truly believe it. When it comes to our own struggle and our own life,
mm-hmm.
when we're in the thick of it, we really think we are all alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like to do is to create that community, which is why I like to do it in a group setting versus just on a one-on-one.
Right. Okay.
Because it allows people to have, you know, the validation that you're all, and to feel what it's like to
mm-hmm.
have everybody, you know, focused on their heart and
mm-hmm.
connecting into their divinity and to experience what they experience in a meditation.
Now, do you also feel in a group atmosphere that the energies are combined? Or
oh, definitely.
Yeah? Is there, you find a difference on one-on-one. So if you're one-on-one, there's two people in the room. If you have a group of five or six people, you know, there's an instructor,
expands.
There's seven. How do you feel that works together? What kind of energies are created? What do you feel of that energy which is created in that?
Well, it definitely becomes stronger and more united.
Mm-hmm.
And so that oneness can almost be felt in a way that is a knowing instead of just this concept that's
right,
out
okay.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we necessarily completely meld into one another, but we certainly can have an experience of, you know, just letting go and feeling that, again, that almost that embrace of love that
mm-hmm.
is all around us. It allows us to actually have an experience of what that is instead of it just being this mental concept in our head.
Right. I was thinking in there's groups called masterminding groups.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their things that they say is if you have two people, there's actually three people in the room because you have both individuals. Sure. And then the entity that is created between those two individuals.
Right.
When they come together. So we have all of a sudden, it's not just separate members of the group and the group together. It's the entity that the group creates together.
Right.
How do you feel? How do you feel that impacts in a group setting with that would be with the clearing and meditation that you're going to be doing?
Well, I think it makes it, you know, much stronger and much more powerful. I think to have that experience is you know, a lovely place to be. You know, it's just more intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. More loving, more right. Joyous.
Okay. Because you, besides the clearing and meditation series that you're going to do, the
right.
Five sessions,
which will begin likely October 9th.
October 9th. So we're looking at October
7:30 at night. So.
Okay. So yeah. 7:30, October 9th. Open up your schedules, people.
Yeah. Although there might be a conflict because that's now Thanksgiving weekend and I totally forgot.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Friday. Is that Friday?
The Friday of
Friday,
it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll need it before they go home.
So there
that
you
they
go.
Don't have to. So
well, they have to get the blessing first
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do the blessing on Friday so that when you go home for Thanksgiving, you're actually prepared for all of this groundwork so that you're not falling back into the same thing.
There
so
you
we
go.
Had before.
Exactly.
I think that's wonderful. There we go. And you do the personal clearing. And I also know that you do some residential clearing as well.
Right.
Can you touch on that a little bit?
I can touch on it for a little bit. We're kind of getting into, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the home, there's home and then there's, you know, if somebody wants to sell their real estate.
Mm-hmm.
They're two different concepts. Your home, you really want to make it safe for you.
Right. Okay.
Your home is, you know, it's where we create our safety. And, you know, often we get all of the stuff that goes on during the day and everything that happens. You know, when we come home at night and we relax or we veg in front of the TV or as soon as we go to sleep, mm-hmm. all of that emotion gets released into your home.
Right. Okay. Yep.
So, you know, if you have an argument in your home, if you have, you know, anything that happens in your home, it can get stuck in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a really good idea every once in a while to get it cleared.
Let's relate. People who, this doesn't happen as much anymore, but people used to smoke a lot in their homes.
Sure.
I had some friends of mine in Peterborough, just an example of this. They moved into the century home. All the walls were yellow, so they thought, well, we'll just paint over it. But it was nicotine, so it just kept coming through the paint, so they had to go back and do it all. So again, so in your home, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Everything that is absorbed, it's all there.
Yeah.
So you're doing the home clearings for the home. Okay.
Right. And, you know, there's sometimes, you know, extra people that are hanging around in your home that
mm-hmm.
you actually want to allow them to move into the light so
right.
that they can progress their own evolution. Because if they get stuck here on this dimension, they're stuck. They're
mm-hmm.
not growing. They're
no.
not evolving. They're stuck here.
Right.
And so it is really... it's a great blessing to be able to allow someone to go into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the things I enjoy the most.
Right. Because from what I see, it's not just in the home and in the residences where you're creating this path for people to go to the light.
Right.
You're doing this with the clearing and meditation series as well.
Right.
And which is really, so everything that you're doing has the same root, we'll
mm-hmm.
call it. And from there, so not only do you have your personal clearing that you can do the preparation work with the blessing,
mm-hmm.
the clearing and meditation, which is the five-part series that you're doing starting October 9th at 7:30 on Thanksgiving weekend before you go home. Get that sorted out before you go home. You do the residential clearing, the home clearing. That's awesome, Lori. That's really, and they all It's a whole package because one is not separate from the other
right.
either.
And the other thing with the real estate, if you're going to sell your home, you know, in these markets, the way it is right now, it's a really good idea to get it cleared. Just, you know, clean up And a lot of people, there's reasons why they're selling. You know, it could be a divorce, could be, you know, there's all sorts of things that could be happening. Get your house cleared, because, you know, that will help you maintain the, you know, the price you want, as well as have it happen quickly, because, you know, people come in, they feel funny, they, you know, they'll take a longer time to make a decision. So, yeah, it's just, there are different ways, and I can teach people in different ways. There's all sorts of different things that people can do for themselves.
Right.
But there, you know, let me know and I can help you.
There we go. Yes. So we've got it all here.
Yeah.
That's incredible, Lori.
Thank you, really, Tim.
That's really nice. It's been lovely. Just listening. It's been lovely listening. Really nice.
Getting to know who I am, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Getting to know you.
So this show is called Travelers, Seekers, and Wandering Ways. Do we have the next?
The next guest on the show will be Sam Pasco of innerhealingmusic.com. He composes music for meditation, relaxation, and healing. He has a Christmas album. And he also does in-home concerts. Now, he's not from here in Toronto, but he'll be a phone-in guest.
Cool.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I met him a few years ago at a holistic expo.
Nice.
And we've stayed in contact for about 3 years now.
Nice.
So really looking forward to hearing what Sam's up to. And again, that's innerhealingmusic.com is his website.
Cool. And so Travelers, Seekers, and Wandering Ways is on Intuitive Soul Radio every last Thursday of the month at 1:30 Eastern Time. So I look forward to our next interview.
I look forward to seeing you too, Lori. That was wonderful. Thanks again for today.
All right.